So that's the one who does it all. Now, periodically, I want to stop and just highlight an application point. How can we shine the spotlight on God in our everyday lives? And so let me just say, shining spot number one, this is in your little outline that you have if you're following along, is develop a praise life. Develop a praise life. Starting with our problems always keeps our heads down. If you think about it, you know, when you're thinking about your problems, what are people doing? You know, that famous, you know, picture of the fender, you know, Rodin. You know, that's what we do. We keep our heads down. We're looking down at the earth. We're looking down at our problems. We're looking down. A praise life causes you to look at it. That's what Daniel did. He said, I don't know the answer. If you give me some time, I'm going to ask God. Joseph did the same thing years before. Centuries before. So develop a praise life. Remember who God is. That's what Daniel's prayer was basically saying, this is who you are, God. There's a difference between praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is thanking God for something he's done or for someone else. Praise is just praising God for who he is. There's over 100 names of God. We can just pick one name a day and go for 3 months. Praise the Lord that you are, in this case, maybe the revealer. That you reveal things, God. You reveal things that no one can know. Praise you for that, Lord God. He praises him for his wisdom. He praises him for his power. And then he thanks him for what God has given him. Thank him immediately. And here's something which I've tried several times in my life, and I'll tell you, it's not that easy. And I just call it a petition fast. And petition, by petition, I mean a kind of a prayer that's asking God for something. Is I find that often a lot of my prayers are asking God for something. I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for help. I'm asking him for money, for finances. I'm asking him for guidance. I'm asking him for patience. I'm asking him, you know, to bless my children and their health and so forth. And someone once challenged me, and I've tried this thing several times, and the idea is you go 1 week, and you don't ask God for anything. You just spend the week praising him. And any time you want to ask him for something, you turn it into a praise instead. If you need discernment and wisdom about a matter, I don't know what to do. Instead of asking him, say, Lord God, I praise you that you are the God of wisdom. I praise you that you are the God of discernment, and you give generously. Thank you, Lord God. Because I think he's figured out what you're needing, right? You kind of know this thing. Try that for a week. Try it for a day. You don't ask God for anything. All you do is praise him. Take every request and turn it into a prayer. Try it for a week. And you can open your eyes to new ways of thinking. Instead of focusing on the problem, you're focusing on the just an idea. Okay. Verse 24. Now, Daniel has an amazing piece of information, right? A piece of knowledge. Now, knowledge, back then as it is today, is influence, is power. So how is he going to use this knowledge, this power that he has? Verse 24. Then Daniel went in to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. Daniel said to him, don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream. Now, it's interesting that Daniel's first step and with his knowledge, with his power that God has given him, is to protect others who are at risk. Notice that? The very first thing, Daniel says, don't kill the wise men. And you understand the power of this in a second. Now, he alone can protect the magicians and the astrologers and the other consultants because what God has given him, he alone can protect them. Now, that's no small act, because you have to realize a couple things about these astrologers and enchanters and magicians. That they are people with whose businesses and practices and methods are totally contrary to God. These are not sympathetic characters. These are people who believe things totally opposite to what God has taught. So, in a way, just business-wise, in a sense, they are his competitors. But beyond that, you find out a little bit later, they are not just as competitors, they're his opponents. They're his enemies. Those are the very same people who in the next chapter, just in the next chapter, try to get his 3 friends killed. They get them thrown into the furnace, the fiery furnace. From the next story, okay? For good. So these are not men who are sympathetic people. And yet Daniel chooses, instead of saying, okay, I've got the info, get rid of all the bad guys, you know, it's just about me. He says, no, wait, don't kill anybody. Let me talk to the king first. He protects people who are not necessarily ones that you would normally think of as someone to protect. I remember when I was reading this a number of years ago, someone came up to me and said, you know, that's like what happened to us in India. They were on a mission trip to India, and there was no Christian who could do the sound for them. They were part of a concert and a group and everything. And so the local people had to hire a non-Christian group, an Hindu-based group, and which caused many, many problems. And the sound tech especially hated Christians, but they were the ones with soundboards, they were the ones who could do it, so they had to hire them. And this man hated Christians. So throughout their presentations, I mean, he'd be messing with the board. He'd be up and down, he'd turn people off, he'd get the mix wrong, and he'd do it intentionally. They could tell because they saw his face, and kind of a sneering look on his face, like he was getting some glee out of it. And they said, you know, it's really frustrating. They've flown all these miles, they've spent all this money, they prepared all these months for this, and here was one person who was basically defeating them. One person. So after the first night, they were really upset. And they were going to be with this person for a number more nights. They were really upset. And so they prayed about it. What are we going to do? Because they couldn't get rid of them. There's no one else in that area, the smaller area, more rural. And they said, someone said, I feel like God is saying that we're supposed to thank him. Like, I think we're supposed to thank him and go out of our way to be gracious. Now that's a novel approach. So they went to him. We're Americans, right? We can stand up for our rights. Well, they went up to him before the next service, and they all went up to him and thanked him for being there. They thanked him for his time. They thanked him for his expertise and his shock and wondering what they were up to. Again, throughout the session, he just messed around with the dial, did everything wrong. Afterwards, they all went up personally and individually and thanked him for what he was doing, how he was helping them, how he was serving them. And he was like, Next day he did the same thing. They thanked him, he did the same thing. But by the fourth day, they said, his attitude had changed. And he started asking them, who is this God who's serving? Because he is different. He goes, why are you thanking me? You know what I'm doing to you. And that led to a dialogue and becomes the Christ. We often get so caught up in our world that we don't ask God, what is it that we could do instead of it was no small act for him to protect those men. You know, maybe we need to use our power, and that's shining spotlight number two, is when God gives you a position of power, and you've heard this from me before, it is to serve others. It's not to exalt yourself. In fact, God says if you exalt yourself, he's going to be quick to humble you. But when God gives you power, when he gives you information, knowledge, expertise, skill, when he gives you what you need, it's to serve and lift up and exalt others. It's to bring glory to him, not to ourselves. That's very different than the way we live. Very, very different. We like to get there. We like to get there. So we're known. How do we use our power? It's to serve others. It's just the way Jesus did. He took off his robe and he got down to the towel on so he could became servant and washed his disciples' feet. He had the power to tell them to do it. He chose instead to serve. Well, verse 25, keep on going. Arioch takes Daniel to the king, but if you notice in the verse, I'll just read that one verse, I didn't have it down, but the one verse, it's interesting. Then Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king, and he said, I have found one of the captives from Judah who will tell your majesty the meaning of your dream. And I love that. I have found. Arioch does the very opposite of what Daniel is doing. He basically takes credit. I found somebody. Look at me. Yay! I found somebody. Beautiful contrast to Daniel here. He gets 27 and 28. The climax of the story. Why is dream given in the first place? Daniel replied, there are no wise men and champions of or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now, I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay in your bed. Interesting. So Daniel can be exalted. So the people of his time, and we might see how wonderful and amazing Daniel is. And so Nebuchadnezzar and me, 20 some odd doing that about 25, 6, 7 centuries later, might see how many miles. So that's times 500 feet, 20-foot lighter size. It was Daniel's opportunity to shine. At that part, he's done something well. It's our natural tendency to say, look at me, look what I've done. And Daniel doesn't do that. There'd be a great chance to feather his own nest. We see that there's something bigger going on here. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, needs to know about the Lord. He needs to hear about the Lord. And so he says, I acknowledge truth, that what the advisor saw, nobody can do it, but there's a deeper truth. No man can do it but God. And at the end of verse 45, he punctuates the point. Just in case he doesn't get it, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. He does it again. That's what God has done. Not me. I didn't do it. But God did. Now, verse 48 and 49, at the end of it all, this is what happens. Daniel is exalted. He does get what he's looking for. He's exalted, I mean, what anybody would like, but it's not what he's asking for. Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position. He gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as the chief over all his wives. But interestingly enough, even here, Daniel thinks of others still. And he doesn't just take it upon himself, but he asks his three friends to be included in the promotion. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are the three of the Babylonian people, to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. So even when he gets exalted by his place, what does Daniel do? You know what, King? I've got three here that I'd really like to bring along with me. Because they're part of my team. And I need to exalt them. I want them involved too. I've worked with people like that. I had a pastor like that. It was just amazing. I used to say, and I've said this many times, the main thing about him is he celebrated your successes more than enough. And he always covered your failures. Never once did he publicly humiliate you among many failures learning how to be a pastor. Over 14 years, never once. Several times took me aside and talked to me privately, but never once publicly did he ever humiliate me. And when anything I did good, he would make sure he told everybody about it. He loved telling people about the success of his own people. Now that's the man that you want to serve. That's the man you want to be your leader. He'll do anything for that person. Because it's just amazing. You feel safe. You feel like someone believes in you. That's what Daniel is like. Daniel says, it's not about me, it's about God. And by the way, he's got me, all these people that I want to bring along. Don't just talk about me. Let's exalt him. Let's bring him in. So Daniel, a man in a hostile environment, an employee, he keeps pointing people to God. And he's rewarded with both God and Nebuchadnezzar, but that's not the point. Daniel's not the hero, but God is. And if we don't see that, if we exalt the man and we spend our time admiring how wise and clever this man is, we contradict Daniel's very life. If God is the giver of wisdom, he gives to Daniel and to you and to me the power to serve him. And in fact, I think that's one thing that I know there's some Sunday school teachers here. It's something we have to do as much as we can to avoid, I think, in teaching our children and our youth Sunday school and lessons, is it's often we use the Bible as a way of illustrating moral points or about moral people and Christian or godly people. But really what the Old Testament and a lot of those stories is about how great God is. I think that was one of my stumbling blocks growing up. I grew up in a number of different churches. My family moved a lot, and my parents would send me to whatever the closest church was there. It didn't matter what denomination or brand it was, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. It didn't matter. Just whatever was closest. And I'd go to the Sunday schools, and it'd all be about how great these men or women were. And you know what? I don't think everyone has a great God. And I just want to challenge you, when we teach our children, don't just use the Bible as an example of these great characters. Talk to them about how the story talks about how great the God they serve. How they've fallen, they're broken, and yet God beat them anyway. Now, someone like Daniel understood that all the glory needs to be shining on them. Instead of talking about the people, let's talk about the people that God serves. 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do it all for the glory of God. Shine the spotlight on God. So I just want to remind you of that line. You can do just about anything as long as you're willing not to take the credit. I believe that's true not only in business or in churches. I believe that's true in all of life. There's just many, many things you can do if you're willing to not take it. If you're willing to be behind the scenes to say, I'm willing to give the glory to someone else, exalt someone else, primarily my God. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that amongst your friends? How do you do that in a classroom? How do you do that? That's what I would encourage you to wrestle with. You know, when someone thanks you, how do you respond to that compliment? Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was very clever. Oh, so that, did you? But what about, you know, thank you, and, you know, I'm thankful God gave me that gift to be able to speak. I'm thankful that God has given me a mind for mathematics, you know, so I could help you. You know, I'm thankful that God gave me a great family, so I can help you as you tell me about your struggles, you know. I didn't have to go through that, so I'd like to help you, and I'm really blessed with the family God gave me. You know, God gave me some skills and some understanding. You know, I didn't study, but God gave me some skills in, you know, in law or in engineering or dentistry or whatever. You know, I'm thankful that He gave me that so I could serve you, I could help you. You know, finding ways to shine the spotlight on God. We do it through our actions. We do it through our life. But we need to do it through our words. How do we do that? Let me challenge you to think about that this week. As situations come up, Lord, how do I shine? And that could be your request. How do I shine the spotlight on you, God? Now, we'll talk about next week another story about Daniel and how he did that very thing. And we sign up. Our Lord and our God, thank you for Daniel. Amazing man, amazing employee. Lord, I probably never really thought of him that way before, but amazing person. Lord, you just gave the glory to you. Father, we ask that we might have a Daniel heart. In your mind, not, first of all, to be conscientious in our work and deserve, but also, to find ways to give you the praise and give you the glory. Lord, we thank you that you are a powerful God, you are a wise God, all the things that you have praised you for. You can reveal things that nobody else can figure out. Thank you that you bring alongside us men and women, Lord God, and their gifts and skills that we need to listen to. May our hearts be open to reach out. Lord God, open our hearts and have your love pouring out of us, and help us to see you in everyday life, no matter what that is for Jesus. Think of one of you, Jesus, holding
you. What's up, Sam? Thank you.